You found Wisconsin's local music authority. This is Mag Zinc Radio. We are local music.
I have been tracking the band Feel for a few years now. And when I saw a Facebook post that the band was in Illinois the night before Atwood Fest, I reached out to their management to see if I could get them here to headline the Clyde Stubblefield stage to close out Atwood Fest 2026. And it took me some doing, and our efforts paid off. And the band Feel is coming to play in Madison for Atwood Fest 2026. After releasing a successful EP last year, the band Feel has amassed over 100 million views and more than 500,000 followers across social platforms, and are releasing their new album, What of Now, produced by five-time Grammy-nominated producer Paul Moak on August 21st. Tonight on the phone with us is guitarist, songwriter, and sometimes singer for the band Feel. Tyler, welcome to Mag Zinc Radio.
Hey, glad to be on. What's up, guys?
Oh, man, we are really enjoying the band Feel. And, you know, you guys played the rave one of the coldest nights of the year. Like, I think it was like 25 below out in Milwaukee. And you played Appleton and here in Madison at the High Noon Saloon. How excited are you to come back to play Wisconsin in the summertime?
Well, yeah, we've always had fun in Wisconsin. We're excited to come back when it's not so cold, that's for sure. That was a brutal night. I mean, it was, you know, all the people that came out, we were so thankful because it was bad. But yeah, we're looking forward to getting up to Madison pretty soon here.
Now, Tyler, before we get to know about your band, tell us your backstory up to Feel. How did you get started playing music?
Oh, well, I mean, as far as guitar playing goes, I started in middle school. I'd always been into music, like listening to it. My parents would play some music when I was growing up, and I was just attracted to the guitar for some reason. I can remember my dad singing classic rock songs when I was younger, you know, like Kansas and, you know, things like that. And just as I grew up, you know, became more interested in it. And when I got into middle school, I was in band playing percussion. And I think it was basically one of the biggest things is I saw Wayne's World and the Bohemian Rhapsody scene kind of made me want to play
classic
guitar. And it's kind of cliche, but it's what did it for me, at least part of it. And yeah, it was that it just kind of took off from there, and, you know, taught myself and learned by ear and by eyes and all that. And here we are now.
And now I saw that you really have a passion for vintage guitars, and you play a lot of them and bring a lot of them on tour. Talk about your passion for vintage guitars.
Yeah, well, you know, one of my true passions is history, and it just so happens to be that music, you know, is so, it's not rooted in history. It is history, you know, and
yeah,
it just, so much of it is revolved around these instruments that change the world. And so, it, you know, whether it's, you know, American history or European history or, you know, instrument history, I'm just so into it. And just so happens to be with this one, I can do it for a career and I can play them. And, you know, it's they vary with, you know, a wide range of values and stuff like that. But I like ones that are rare and expensive. I like ones that are not, you know, it just, it just goes hand in hand with it, you know, whichever one speaks to me. But yeah, I bring a lot of them out, and it's kind of what I'm kind of being known for in some circles, but they all do something different. New guitars are great too. I got plenty of them, you know. PRS has recently sent me some guitars that are just amazing. And, you know, new ones can be great too, but yeah, they all do something different. It's just like the human voice. They all sound a little different, you know?
Well, on that song we just heard, Goodbye Virginia, you're using a Rickenbacker 12 string. You know, you don't see that often in the rock and roll world anymore. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're, you know, influenced by so much music. We're a rock band, but, you know, especially with the stuff we have coming up and you know, some of the singles we just released, you know, it's pretty diverse, it's pretty dynamic. You know, I'm just as much into, you know, Joni Mitchell as I am Sabbath. I'm just as much into REM as I am, you know, like Peter Gabriel era Genesis, you know? So, you know, the
That's one of my favorite too, actually.
Is the Genesis stuff?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 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 Oh man. Those are my boys. But, so yeah. Yeah. The Rickenbacker stuff, you know, probably stems mostly from like the Byrds and, you know, the Sunset Strip bands, rather, you know, mid-60s with Love, and of course the Beatles and just all those bands. But yeah, a lot of the Byrds, and it's just something I'm drawn to. And, that's what the song called for. And that's what I did.
It's perfect. I love it. Now, tell us about the band Feel. Currently, you're based in St. Louis, but you guys are from the Midwest. And then you bring in Garrett, your singer, from California, and the band takes off. Give me some backstory highlights.
Yeah, I mean, TJ and I, the drummer, TJ and I, we've been in groups for a while. And, you know, COVID happened, and a group we were in, kind of the precursor to Feel, kind of was lying dormant for a while. And then during that period of time, we were kind of putting some stuff together. And eventually Garrett came around because his friend tipped us off to him. And then Caden came around, and, you know, we had been doing some stuff before all of that, but not to a degree of, you know, anything too serious. We were serious, but nothing major was happening. But, yeah, it just all clicked. You know, we're Midwest guys. Garrett's from California, but, you know, we're all human beings. It all, you know, it all mashes up pretty well.
Well, Garrett, he must have been pretty surprised when he got to the rave last December during that, cold spell.
He spent a lot of time in the Pacific Northwest, so it can get cold there, you know, but not quite like that. you know, TJ, Caden, and I and our crew were mostly Midwest. What was really crazy is a friend of ours was from San Diego and lives in Florida now, was out with us. And he refused to go to our mode of transportation until everything was packed up. He is not stepping foot outside. It was really cold. I mean, even for us.
It was very, very cold. 25 below that night. The wind.
It felt like it. It was brutal. It was very bitey.
We were all wearing shorts that night. We're sure, from Wisconsin.
Oh yeah.
Now, of course, let's talk about some of your influences. And, you know, I think that a lot of people are, you know, see Led Zeppelin and Black Crowes in your music. But I sometimes hear influences like Old Bad Company from songs like Brother. Talk about your influences. I know that even Lynyrd Skynyrd is a big one for you.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we just love music, and it really depends what generation you're from. It really depends what you like based on that, what you hear from us. You know, a lot of surface things, you know, level things, you can hear Zeppelin, of course, or a rock band, you know, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, but there's so much in it, and not to keep saying with the stuff coming up, but, you know, with the album coming up, it really expands on, or expounds on rather, what we're into. And, you know, yeah. So, I mean, growing up, I was really into classic rock. And then when I got into the Beatles, I became interested in everything, you know? So after that, you know, I was getting into all of the, you know, psychedelic pop stuff, and I was already into like 40s and 50s blues, and then eventually I got in pretty deep into jazz, and I'm still there. And I'm really like into bands like the very early U2 stuff, and it's, you know, just everything. And, you know, we listen to a lot of stuff in the van. You know, we'll go from you know, Hank Williams to Fall Out Boy. You know, it just we're just into music, man, and what comes out. And, you know, we feel like, you know, the older folks of an older generation, which is very cool, not bashing that, they'll say, oh man, this is what it was like. And our younger generation goes, wow, we haven't experienced something like this. They're going to hear something completely different than an older head might. But I often say that, you know, because of that, we are, you know, unlocking nostalgia for an older generation, and we're helping create it for a younger. So, you know, we're in a really interesting, you know, place where we're playing our music, and luckily it comes out sounding unique and like us, but you can hear a lot of things. And I'll wrap this question up by saying, like, that's what I like a lot about this band is you could say Bad Company, somebody else can say, you know, Zeppelin, somebody else can, he might hear you two or REM in it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to pinpoint us, which makes me feel good because it gives something for everybody to enjoy, you know?
Well, you know what? It's authentic.
Cool.
Now, let's give the drummer some. TJ, your drummer, he literally calls the very spirit of John Bonham every show. Tell us about writing with a drummer who puts that kind of feeling and precision to orchestrate your music.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know what TJ is capable of. And in a lot of ways, there's foreshadowing with TJ or hindsight, whatever, however you want to look at it. I've known him for a long, long time. And I know what to expect of him, and I know what I can expect from him in the future because he's such a hard worker and he's dedicated to his craft. Just like a lot of drummers nowadays, but especially, you know, in the 60s and early 70s and throughout the 70s, they were, you know, that kind of sound was fresh to a rock listener or a younger person, but those sounds have been around for a while. You know, somebody like Mitch Mitchell with Hendrix and, you know, John Bonham and, you know, Ginger, you know, all those drummers back then were jazz drummers, or they wanted to be. So TJ's the same in a lot of ways, where started with the rock. He loves country music too. And that very, very studio tight sounds, but where he's really drawn from live is, you know, someone like Elvin Jones, you know, who played with all those great Coltrane records and Miles and stuff like that. And, you know, through that and the kind of rock music that we're playing, that you might hear that style of drumming, it goes, oh, there's that Bonham, but Bonham was just trying to be Elvin Jones too, you know what I mean? And Max Roach and Tony Williams. So, you know, TJ's amazing. And
Purdy, no, don't forget Purdy.
Bernard Purdy, yeah, of course, man. But yeah, I have no doubt that TJ will be, if, as this thing continues, he's going to be seen as one of the dudes internationally, you know, and he's pretty much on his way with it already.
I'd say, he really knows when to rest. That's really key for a drummer. Yeah,
dynamics is a really big thing with our band. It's up and down, it's up and down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's very few bands that can just hit it hard all the time, and we're not one of them.
Now, we got to talk quickly about your album, What Of Now?
Yeah.
And it's coming out on August 21st. How excited are you to put out your, you know, first LP this summer?
Yeah, we're really excited, man. You know, it's a pretty big deal for a rock band, you know, especially. So, you know, we've put out some music prior, and it's kind of been like a little tease or a little warm-up, if you will. But, yeah, we're really excited about the album. It's long. It's 51 minutes long, but it's got so much music on it. It's very dynamic. It's got something for everyone.
And produced by a 5-time Grammy nominated producer, Paul Moak.
Yeah, Paul's a very good friend, and we feel at home at Smokestack, his studio down in Berry Hill in Nashville. And you know, he has an interesting approach with a band like us. He knows that we know what we want and where we're going. So he's pretty hands off, and he'll speak up at the perfect moments when it's needed, and he backs off when he knows, you know, what we're doing. So it's very much a collaboration in the sense of he gets the best out of us, and we just present the rest.
Now, Tyler, I have to settle a bet with my daughter, Lizzie, about the song Goodbye Virginia. Lizzie discovered that the band Feel while she was creating social media for Atwood Fest this year. And now a few months later, according to Stats FM, she is the 27th listener of all time with 735 minutes listening to the band Feel. And so the winner of our bet has to buy a t-shirt for the other at your merch table at Atwood Fest. So here's where the question lies. In the video of Goodbye Virginia, during the second verse of the song, it appears Garrett is singing that verse. But I saw a video where it's you singing that verse. And so our bet is that on the studio recording that's used for the official video, that the voice of the second verse is still you, even though Garrett is singing it on the video. My daughter believes it's Garrett. I believe it's you. Set us straight on that piece of Banfield trivia.
Well, I do have to say you have a very smart and insightful daughter, because it's in fact not me singing on the record.
No!
I wrote that Yeah, I wrote that bridge.
You owe her a t-shirt.
That's lyrically, melodically, my part that I wrote of it, and I sing it live. But I'm pretty sure what happened is that I was sick when we were tracking that, and Garrett did it, but Garrett's a far better singer than I anyhow, but so it worked out that way. But yeah, Lizzie's right, and tell her to come by, and I'll congratulate her on her insightfulness.
Oh man, I gotta go put my head in the sand here. Well, the Banfield performs at Atwood Fest on Sunday, July 26th at 6 p.m. on the Clyde Stubblefield stage to close out Atwood Fest. What can people expect to see you guys next week?
Yeah, man. A lot of energy, a lot of passion, a lot of dynamics. You know, just a good time. You see four dudes that are really passionate, and you'll see a team that's, you know, just as passionate about the music as the band. And, you know, it'll be a good time. We'll bring it to Madison.
Well, Tyler Armstrong from the band Field. Tyler, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us on Max Inc. Radio. We really appreciate it.
Of course, man. Thank you.
And right now, we're going to actually listen to a song that's coming up on your new album. This song is called Twice Alive. Tell us just a little bit about this before we hear this song.
Twice Alive is kind of what I call a transition song, where it's a little bit closer to the stuff we've released prior. And it's kind of edging me into the kind of new era that we're in now, and sets you up for the new songs like Summer Song that we also released in Better Days. But Twice Alive is a rocker. There's no doubt about it.
That is killer. I can't wait to see you guys next week, and we'll see you at Atwood Fest. Right now, let's check out the band Field. This is their brand new song, Twice Alive. You're listening to Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Shop local, eat local, listen local. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.